You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You don't need the headphones.
I speak for you across the
right.
All the years I've been in radio.
Shut up. I'm telling you, shut up.
Why have you got the headphones on? Well, it's just habit with radio. And one ear, do you notice? I know that they do that.
You've got one ear.
No, I've got yours here. No, the thing is, radio people wear headphones.
I'll tell you how fortunate we are, Greg. We've only spoken to... very rarely do we speak to people on the podcast more than once. We've had... probably in the 4 years we've been doing it, we've spoken to, I reckon, 10 people more than once. Because they're good value or they've got something else to say. One of our very, very brilliant interviews we did was with Simon O'Donnell a couple of years ago. Don was here.
Yes.
And that made it interesting too. And Simon has got a great sense of humour and we got him on and he told us about his journey playing football under various coaches and cricket stories and my foray up to the Cathedral Golf Club where I... there's a fucking dog beside me. What is that?
Well, look,
what are you doing? Holy shit, though, I could smell... felt someone sniffing me agates. I thought, hello. Hello, I was quickly looking for Ivan.
No, Sam, this is Danny Wallace. Danny. And the dog goes everywhere with Danny.
Well, what does it? Well, keep the fucking dog off me, Danny. What's it doing? Look, it's...
the dog's trying to lick his plums.
I don't give a fuck if it loves me. Get the dog out from... It's going to take all the wires and shit away.
That's all right. Don't worry, Simon. The last time I was here, he had a dog under there that looked like a wombat that farted. And I tell you, there's nothing worse than that.
Right. So, the last time, if you've been back to the cathedral, tell them the story about us at the cathedral. And speak it in the microphone.
It's never as good the second time.
No,
But I think it is worthy of telling that we went up with our old great mate, Shane Warne.
Yep.
And the proprietor of Cathedral, David Evans, and Sam and myself.
The owner.
And the cathedral's pretty much, it's a private sort of club. It's an invite-only sort of club, which Sam sort of relishes those clubs. He loves to stick by the rules and make sure that he doesn't draw any attention to himself.
Well,
so he came up in with Shane in the car. They travelled at probably 140 to 180 kilometres through the Black Spur. Sam got out, and I've never seen a person more grey in my life. So I started to giggle then.
Mm. I vomited just next to the...
Why? Because of the windy road.
Why? Have you ever driven up the Black Spur?
Yeah.
That says advised speed around some of the hairpins, 30K. Shane drove it round there like... So we got up there.
I've never seen a human like...
I vomited.
Wow. He's not going
to... Not quite near the first tee, but not far from it. And that got David's attention, the proprietor, the owner.
Yeah, correct. And what hadn't occurred is Sam at that stage, after the trip, hadn't got tied in the purse. He did a little later on. But there's 18 holes in a golf course and 15 of the 18 holes at Cathedral are in beautiful valleys and you know, there's high, you know, nearly mountainous sort of country.
Rolling
high country, feel to it. And you're walking along these fairways in those valleys. It's absolutely magnificent. And no one to be seen. And if you actually go off the fairway on some of the holes... If you're too far off, you've probably got to get the SES to get you back. You know, you could have to have a search party to get you back onto the fairway.
Yeah.
So we've gone through 15 of those holes.
Yeah.
15 of them. With much laughter and frivolity through Sam and Shane
to put this in context, it was in its infancy. They hadn't got a lot of facilities out on the course. There was no halfway.
Trees are 200 years old.
Facilities,
well,
I said.
That's
there was
in
no
the country.
There was,
that is a facility.
Well, exactly. I know what you're about to say. That is why I had to empty the bladder. Just on the next to the tee, on the 18th
tee. Where there wasn't any trees. And as I explaining, the first 15 holes are literally going through the high country. So there's many spots if you are getting a touch, as Sam refers to it, tight in the purse. There are plenty of areas just to duck around behind a tree, relieve yourself, come back out, hit your 7-iron and life goes on.
Yes.
Well, we get to the 16th and there's a beautiful set of gates that you go into Cathedral that open automatically. And just as we got to the 16th, I could see some black cars coming up the winding driveway to Cathedral.
The Mayor of Thornton was arriving to have a tea and scones with David and his wife out on the patio in a Daimler, the Mayor of Thornton, just as I had eased the zip down of my shorts.
Oh,
well,
no.
Greg, would I have done that had I known the Mayor of Thornton was coming by in the Daimler?
Do you think you would have relieved yourself somewhere in the first 15 holes? Not even a satellite, I reckon, would have picked you up.
Did you say you think I would have relieved myself in the first? I didn't want to. I'd been plied with water, and I was getting more swollen in the bladder, and until the 16th tee, I think you made me chuckle over something, or Shane did something, and I thought, no, I've got to have a piss, which I moved away just at the psychological, critical moment that the Mayor of Thornton... Well, shit.
And she has been mayor ever since, I think.
She comes back every other week, hoping that she'll see the same someone else doing it.
We had an in-depth chat last time, Sam and I. We had an in-depth chat. First, Sam is obviously a close friend of Wikipedia, and I'm really interested today to see what he comes up with, because he's run out of Wikipedia with me because it's the second time I've been on.
Yeah, right.
But he did say the last time he'd seen me was with a group of my former football mates at Melbourne. I played footy at St Kilda, so it wasn't a great start for his Wikipedia. And he danced around that and tried to make an excuse. Look, Sim, I do know you, Sim.
I getting mixed up with Max Walker? Did he play football?
Yeah, he played with Melbourne.
I did.
That's why I'm getting mixed up.
That's who I got mixed up with.
That's it.
And why would I get mixed up with the late Max Walker? But
yeah. Two and a half years on, you're running with that, are you?
Now, Simon, you...
So... Anyhow, just to cut this off, just to finish this, so I was in full stream, it was a nice misty morning and steam was coming off me piss. Oh. I'll say that. It just drifted into the ether as the mayor, S, of Thornton
comes
rolled by. In fact, as I swung around, I think I pissed on one of her white wall tyres. And this went over like a wrought iron hang glider with the proprietor of the Cathedral Golf Club, David Evans, which I've never been back to. So it was an unfortunate thing. It was an unfortunate thing. And so that's my lasting memory of playing golf with Sim.
What the proprietor has done since then, because he feels that people of Sam's age could get a bit tight in the purse after playing 15 holes out west.
And being plied with water.
Yeah. Well,
because it was a hot day.
You insinuated... You sat there and we poured water down your throat, plied water. You actually get the water bottle and drink it yourself, don't you?
Well, because he'd cut the top off 44-gallon drums because it wasn't quite as pristine as it is now, and he had them loaded up with ice and they were doing the right thing by the patrons. Mind you, we're the only four there. And I kept taking a bottle of water out, and I appreciated his hospitality.
Well, you remember there, and you will... be remembered there for a long, long time because we now have pop-up restaurants and cafes and things like that. We've now got the pop-up pisser.
That's it. Erected in his honour.
They have now a rack of colostomy bags that you can that if you just get caught short, you can strap one to your person, and then you don't even have to stop playing. You can have a piss while you're at the top of your backswing. It's a win. I haven't done it with about number two. Lucky I didn't need to have a crap, wasn't it? Imagine if I'd been... Greg, imagine you're out for 4.5 hours. It's 4.5 hours. Yeah. It's a hell of a walk. Imagine if you'd needed to evacuate your bowels just as the Mayor of Thornton. That would have been arrested.
Well, Arrested now, or admired, one of the two. I'm not sure which was.
Now, Danny Wallace has come in, yep, and he's sitting here, with and this dog. Is his introduction to... No, that's Danny, that's the...
Now, with the dog.
Oh, with the dog.
Look at the dog.
Herbie is the dog.
Herbie, yeah.
Simon... oh, God, now what was I going to say?
You tell Danny
what... This is Danny's introduction to this podcast and the story of the Cathedral Golf Course.
Oh, Danny, so sorry.
Come in, Danny, come in and talk to us. What do you think of that? Do you play golf?
No, I don't. Tell Danny. Tell Simon who Danny is, why he's here.
I know Danny. I've seen Danny on the telly.
That's it. He's the professional.
He's a tech entrepreneur.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Quite right, really? Simon.
Do you take the dog onto the telly with you?
Of course.
It's talking about Danny, not Herbie.
Herbie.
Do you know him?
I know Danny from... the first time I met Danny is today.
Yeah.
Well, what are you
but
on?
I've read about Danny before because he's really? Very successful at what he does. Yeah. I'd like to learn about people.
Shit, I've underestimated you, Danny. I thought you're just some sort of dribbler that's coming off the street with a dog.
So, Danny, most people would remember Danny from The Block when he buys these houses, right, Simon? And he buys them for these ridiculous amounts.
Is Danny the person we spoke to on the phone? Put a name... put a face to the voice, Danny. I'm that sorry. Time. I beg your pardon, Danny.
Danny's accumulated many of these houses, and he's known as the serial pest because he's at an auction, and you do that for fun, don't you, Danny?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. How many houses did you buy off the block?
11, I think.
11. Mm. See, now the reason, because this is a bit of a segue, Sam, Simon O'Donnell has become a real estate agent.
Yeah.
Danny buys real estate. You've got some good property. Oh. But Danny doesn't want to buy in Victoria anymore. Why not?
Our government, too much taxes, too much land tax, too greedy.
Yeah.
They're killing the golden goose.
They are indeed. Can I ask you why you're here, Danny?
Because I invited you.
No,
I know why he's here.
No, Greg. I'm very delighted Danny's here. This has nothing to do with the film, is it?
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Good.
We can't talk about.
What's he got to do with that?
He's going
to
be in it as well.
Well, so
and the dog's going to be in it.
There you are. Well, why don't I know all these things? Why don't you inform me about this?
Will you guys be the same after being in a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be the same. What would we be doing? Do you want to be in it?
No.
There's the man sitting over there who wrote the movie. He's the playwright.
Will you will you be a little more... I don't think you could be more estranged from the general public, could you?
affable?
What will you end up?
I have
being
no idea.
Become a movie star.
Well, I have. Look here, yeah, Greg. See, this is how much preparation I get. Greg says Danny's coming in. I had no idea he was part of the movie. I know
Glenn
is here, and I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Did I? Yep. Am I allowed to mention that?
Yeah, you can.
And then I've got the script here,
that's the synopsis.
Oh well. So he gave me that 1 minute before we started the broadcast, and he expects me to know what I'm talking about.
What's a synopsis?
A synopsis is a paradigm.
What's a paradigm?
It's a plan. It's a plan of what you're doing, or it's the story.
It's a plan next time.
Well, paradigm.
Why do we have to go through paradigm and synopsis to get to plan?
Well, I'm sorry. We've had this conversation before. English is my first language, and I'm partially educated, but they're just English words, like words in English. They are paradigm and synopsis.
I still get there and there mixed up.
No.
What about
ERE and EIR?
What about brought and bought? I always get that mixed up. I said I bought him here today.
No.
No,
what you brought him.
You're right.
You
say I brought him here today.
I always say bought, no matter if it should be brought. I always say bought, and I get, but I never say H.
No, H.
Don't.
You've taught me not to.
Danny,
say H.
Here's a good test.
Now, what about 222?
What's that?
T O T O O and 2 T W.
I can do better than that, mate. I can do better than that. What about poor? There's five different ways you can spell poor. And this is the English language. What? What?
Well, P-O-U-R, P-O-U-R, P-O-R-E.
P-O-R-E.
Yeah.
There's three.
Yeah.
What? Downpour.
Poor.
Yeah, P-A-W.
Poor.
Oh, P-A-W. Yeah. Four of the five.
Well, then the fifth one is poor. Like, poor, as you know, the fruit.
It's two paws.
It's not two dogs' paws, though. It's just it's poor is a dog's foot. And a pawpaw, which is spelt the same way, is but it's got another paw on it, which has nothing to do with dogs. It has to do with fruit.
It's a trick. What is a pawpaw? It's a thing on the end of a dog. Now, Danny, yes. Sport. I'm just trying to link a bit of a synergy
here. You don't
here.
Say Dan- H, do you? Do you say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
You yeah, say H?
Do you go to a Catholic school?
I'm out of
school?
The movie. I'm not in.
Yeah, now Catholic schools teach, taught that.
It's wrong.
Most people who say H went to a Catholic school.
They do, and it's wrong.
Of course it's wrong.
No, it's no
H.
I went to a Catholic school and say H.
Yeah, you did. You said H.
H.
Yeah, you did.
No, but you used to when you grew up.
I say H.
Always. Ever since you were a little kid.
Ever since I'm sitting over
That's right. No, I'm just saying it is a curious fact that most people who say H, you pronounce that letter H, but H went to a Catholic school.
But it's incorrect.
Of course it is.
Well, then Sam. This is the legacy Sam. Of education. Let's teach people to speak the way, give them the right information.
Well, then it goes on, doesn't it? Either and neither or either and neither.
You got someone hostage here.
Yeah.
You got someone hostage here.
What's that mean?
I heard someone cough.
Oh, yeah.
No one else here.
No, there's
someone
a business.
Just
there's a business going on upstairs. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Someone tied up or something.
Either and neither, by the way. Danny, this guy travels the world to watch Grand Prix. He goes all over the place.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you've come to the right person.
I've seen you at many of them.
Yeah, I tell you what, there'll be few and far between if the Grand Prix circuit and caravan keeps going the way it is. What a disgrace. What an absolute non-competitive sport they are throwing billions of dollars at. How boring are the Grand Prix? Danny, please.
They're getting very boring.
The lead-up is fantastic. Sim, have you been to a Grand Prix?
I went this year.
Did you?
Yes.
All right, let me ask you
I had a problem at the Grand Prix.
Only one?
Not in front of the mayor.
The new chair of the Grand Prix is a mate of mine,
yep.
Martin Pakula.
Yep.
And he sent me an invitation to join him on the Friday. So yep. I was C grade, not A, C.
Yeah.
D. Yeah.
Friday.
D.
A, Sunday. B,
qualifying
Saturday,
yeah.
C Friday,
D Friday.
But you're going to get me down to H.
Martin Bakula, is it?
Yeah, I text Martin.
He's a you're a D grader. Yeah, go on. You text Marty. Yeah, what do you say?
You know, look, doesn't say anything on the tickets for the dress code. What should I wear tomorrow? And he said, "What?" I said, "What should I wear tomorrow?" And then I thought, Jesus, he's forgotten he's invited me. And he said, what's on tomorrow? I said, the Grand Prix. He said, it's on in 2 weeks, you idiot.
I was
going two Fridays prior to the Grand Prix starting.
Oh,
he thought, well, we were only doing this across the, you know, Twitter, or no, not Twitter, what do you call it? The
X.
Text. Texting each other.
And you couldn't think of that word.
I could feel through the phone. He just thought, what sort of a moron am I dealing with here? And I was going 2 weeks early. And he said, haven't you read the paper?
Yeah,
Have you seen a driver on the back page? I said,
Sim,
funnily enough,
in fairness to Mr. Bakula, Sim, that is, you've got me worried, mate. If you've been invited to the Grand Prix and you've gone a fortnight early, you got to keep up with life.
You think that's bad?
Well, I think that's...
I took my son for an interview at Xavier College when we lived in the country. I brought him down for an interview. It was a year early. So how do you think he felt? The headmaster walked in.
He said, no.
Is the date of his date of birth this? Yeah. He said, look, I'm sorry, but you've made a mistake. You're a year early. I stood up and said, look, not a problem, Prof. I said, see you next year.
Simon, the real estate business is going to go good for you. I can see that.
So just, did you get to the Grand Prix?
Yes.
You went on the Friday. So yes. What happens? Nothing happens on Friday. What is it? The V8s?
No, they do time trials.
Port? Yeah, no, they do a time.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
The Formula Ones?
Yeah.
No, they do practice.
Yeah.
But not qualifying.
Time practice.
Yeah, I know.
Not qualifying. No, they do that Saturday.
Do they do a morning and an arvo? But the time
practice means nothing, does it?
No.
Does it mean nothing?
I thought I saw them twice.
You did. Two practice sessions.
Is it on the Friday?
Yeah. Then they run the V8s.
Jeez, I thought.
No.
Put the P now. Got to be a bit
of freeze now.
Didn't they have the V8s there?
Simon went out to Calder to look for the Grand Prix.
Danny, they had the V8s there.
Yeah, they're Thursday. They've been downgraded.
I see. So Thursday is better day than Friday. Friday is the pits, so to speak.
That's why I said he's D.
Sorry?
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Yes. What did you enjoy about it?
Not a lot. I'm not a Grand Prix.
Did you go up?
Saw some good people. We had a good chat.
Yeah. Did you go up into one of the boxes?
Oh, the Hoi Polloi, yeah.
Over these pits?
C-grade boxes, so we're third level.
And they plied you with liquor and food.
Yes, finger food.
Yeah. And so the Grand Prix is – the lead-up is fantastic. The cars are magnificent. All the wankers that – do the walk up the pits and up the pit lane and do it, and the interviews are fantastic. When the race, it is the most boring sport going round, mate. Why don't they do something about it?
Well, Verstappen goes out the front always.
No, but what
stays there?
So why don't they do something about either having refueling or using the DRS system as soon as the race starts? Why do they wait for two laps? Because Verstappen's gone by then. When they refueled. That would be better, because you can start off with a full fuel tank or you can start off with half a fuel tank, and the difference between 110 kilograms, which is a fuel tank full of fuel, or half is 50, that's one person. You've got one person in one of those cars, that's the speed that comes off because you've got overweight on it. They could, the strategy, give the public something. It's most boring stuff you've ever seen.
What's lowering the fuel do to that?
Because the light of the car,
the
light of the car, the quicker the car goes.
So you can't see them anyway.
What's
when you're standing there, you can hardly see them anyway.
That's a good point, but they don't race each other; they just go around in procession. No one ever. There's very few cars pass one another except the back of the field.
So can I ask you, Danny? Why do you travel all over the world and never miss one?
I'm off circuses.
You what?
I love circus.
Circus.
It's a circus.
No, it's a fantastic thing to follow, Danny. Yeah. I've been to a few of them. Well, not a few of them. I've been to one overseas. Now, because we were over there at Magny-Cours in France. But I'd go to Monaco. But the race, it's just... so you say, what's the fuel got to do with it? Because I'm just saying... A full tank of fuel in those cars weighs 110 kilograms. How heavy are you? 100. Well, not quite, are you?
A bit more.
Yeah, but you're heavier than 110 kilograms.
I don't jump on the scale every day.
Well, what do you know?
Would you be hefty?
That's heavy. Anyhow, so you imagine you sitting in the back of one of those cars, how much slower it is in relative terms. It's only got to be half a second a lap slower, and half a second a lap is about 200 metres at 300 k an hour.
So how does it make the race better?
Because if the
strategy... You have to be a more talented driver if your strategy is because you're going faster.
No, so if the team said, well, we'll start off with a low fuel weight, we'll only fill the tank up a quarter full, but because the car is lighter, we'll get out ahead much further, and then we'll come in and put new tyres on it and fill it up more. Strange. Or the other cars might say, we'll fill it up full of fuel and we'll go for longer because we won't run out of gas, won't run out of fuel. So at least there'd be some strategy to make the thing interesting.
Doesn't that already happen?
No.
You've got to change tyres, that's it. Takes 2 seconds.
Tyres.
2 seconds to change four tyres. They come in. The fuel's just there for the whole day. Once the car runs out of fuel and they work out that the car won't run out of fuel, or they make the fuel tanks bigger. But they've got to do something to make it interesting. It's very interesting sport, but except when the race starts.
What year did you go to France to the Grand Prix?
The footy show was over there for doing a show over in London, and we went down on a helicopter down to Magny-Cours in 2006, maybe.
Do you like France?
Do I like France?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? Do I like the French people or the French food?
I'm thinking
or do
you're
I
not
like
a
the
French
town?
Sort of person.
Not really.
Yeah, no. I don't reckon you're a French sort of person.
No,
but they're sort of.
Yeah. Can you speak? That's right. And
bonjour.
Bonjour. And you know, any people that eat snails and smelly cheese, there's something wrong with them.
Snails? Don't you like snails?
Oh, fucking snails.
I can't stand them.
That's right.
I've eaten them because I had to. You had to.
Well, yeah. You're forced to
when
eat snails.
When you look at the great man upstairs as you're going, you've got to say, well, I did eat a snail.
So you were out at a restaurant somewhere and someone said, you've got to have snails. And you said, I don't like them. You said, no, you've got to have them. And you ordered them.
I've got a rule. Whatever country you're in, you've got to be eating their food.
Do you agree with that?
No. I tell you, there's one food I'd never eat if you see how the flesh is made, and that's... Would you ever eat snake?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Ugh. Christ, they devour capybaras whole, and they eat the whole... and that turns their flesh... That's what you eat. At least a cow, if you eat a cow, it eats grass. It eats nothing else.
I'm probably thinking the countries I am going to go to, snake isn't one of their delicacies. I'm trying to stay in.
Are you?
Yeah. You
know, we go to China.
The country that actually has petrol and cars on wheels and stuff like that.
Go over to China the week they have Dog Week and they eat dog. People bring their dogs and they eat them.
They'll be watching the league.
Yeah, don't you think I'm making that up? Archie, what's his name?
Herbie.
I'd fucking eat Herbie like just to get him out of the building.
He's not your dinner. Hey? He's not your dinner.
Archie. Herbie. So you like France, do you?
I love France.
Why? What do you like about
history?
History. Oh, the chapel and the...
The chapel.
Yes. Yeah, you know, the Arc de Triomphe.
They go the other way up the street?
They don't go the other way. Yes, they drive the other side.
Well, they go the other way up the street. A different way to the way I put it.
That means it's
it's different.
So, do you like France? Have you been to a Grand Prix in France? Do they have one in France?
I haven't been to it.
Do they have a Grand Prix in France?
Or I don't think so.
They've stopped Magny-Cours now, have they?
I don't think they do. Not anymore.
I don't think they do.
So you may be
Paul Ricard. Well done, Ivan. You know Ivan?
No.
Do now.
Yeah. Ivan Milat. So how did we get onto that, Sim?
You were talking about Grand Prix.
Are you going to
you
France?
Said you went to the overseas.
Oh, and you
one
said, why
France.
Does the weight of the fuel make any difference? Well, seriously.
Technically, I'm not sure.
Let me give you an analogy.
I went with the Sea Graders to the Grand Prix on the Friday. There was two practice sessions. They were going really fast.
They go really
fast. Wow, and they kept going really fast. So I thought, best I go back down to where I can have a little munch on something, a little drink of something, and talk to...
And since they made them, now Danny, don't tell me since they made them electric or some of them, you know, part, didn't the sound of the engines when they were, that was, the whole stand would shake when the petrol driven, normally aspirated, or even turbo engines, but now they have batteries in them that make them go quicker, but the noise is suppressed.
In fact, they
put megaphones on the tailpipes to make the sound.
Is that for general consumption that they're quieter?
No, that's just to show they're on the cutting edge of No, not at all. That just shows they're trying to be on the cutting edge of development, and these are the supreme racing cars in the world, which they're actually not. The NASCARs are more exciting. The motorbikes are more exciting again. And even the V8s here are more exciting than the Grand Prix, the F1s.
Love it when you get passion in your voice, look at you.
So,
you ever been to a MotoGP? You know, down to Phillip Island.
Got one this morning.
What?
Have you driven with your car roof off this morning? Seriously.
Oh, what wrong is
with me?
Don't you laugh, Daddy. You've got no hair.
I can't continue.
What's wrong with my hair?
Can you put one of your hats on? What a buffon you've got on.
At least he's got it. He's got plenty of it.
What is that?
Well, it's just fly away hair. It's
look, stick on.
Stick on, Danny, is it? I'll give a stick on. So
now, while we're on the subject of cars, Simon, seeing as you've entered the real estate industry,
yes,
and you now have to drive
rural real estate.
Rural real estate, a BMW, isn't it? Isn't that what they all? No. Why do all real estate people drive?
Rural's Range Rover,
hey?
Rural's Range Rover.
Rural, yeah, but I'm just saying in general, Danny, real estate agents drive BMW.
My car is a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Very good car.
So you're not a good real estate agent.
So, rural real estate. He owns real estate in the country. Have you still got those houses up there at where? Kilmore or somewhere?
Gisborne.
Gisborne. Oh, I was up at Kilmore. I wasn't far away from you.
Yeah.
The block. Your Gisborne ones were from the block.
Yeah.
We're not calling that rural, really, are we? Mm. We're calling that lifestyle, aren't we? And we are rural lifestyle.
Yes, you are. By the way, can I just I saw Tony Jones put together a thing with you on Channel 9 News, and he's very talented, Tony Jones. He's just fabulous. I thought that was a great story.
Yes,
he brought up all the facts of your cricketing career and your 25-game football career.
What did you do with Tone?
I like
he's
Tone.
He's very good. He's
excellent.
Well, there you are.
Yeah,
what?
It was very nice.
He came out to the rural.
When?
Couple of weeks ago.
On what?
Channel 9
On television,
news.
Which you don't watch.
No, I don't watch free-to-air, but what was it on?
Him.
The news.
Him. The news, that's what I'm trying to... It wasn't a special on you. On the news.
Yes, it was a special on Simon on the news.
So if it was on the news, how long did it go?
Two blokes rang my phone because they thought I'd gone.
Oh, no.
They thought it was an obituary. Two guys rang and said, oh, shit, you're still with us. Thank Christ.
So
how
long...
They had the sound down. They were cooking their dinner. And it was going...
So how long...
Different times and doing different things. I said, Jesus, he's croaked it.
So how long did it go for on the news?
3.5 minutes. A nice little package that Tony Jones put together.
How long did it take to film?
A day.
Day?
No.
What did
half
they...
Half an hour. Really?
And Sim, why were you on? What was the...
What was the sort of change, late life change of career?
I see. I get you. So you've gone from being an agister... Or a horse whisperer? What were you?
Used to call me an enabler.
An enabler.
And then
right.
I got pissed off halfway through the year this year listening. He called someone else an enabler. I was not going to ring and complain. If it was live, I would have rung and complained. I said, look, nobody knows.
It is
I'm
live.
The original enabler. Don't you dare.
Well, so you went from being an agister or an enabler or a horse whisperer. Yeah. You had a ranch out there with
we
you.
We sold
and your
the ranch.
Yeah.
So Ranch when he sold. Said, when he said, you are an estate agent, I said, no, not the Simon O'Donnell. You got the wrong one.
Not the one that played at Melbourne Footy Club.
Simon, the house in that story, the very story we're talking about with Tony Jones on Channel 9 News, was a $7 million spread.
Straight over hanging rocks.
So, Commission, if you sold that, you could... smoke cigars for a long time, couldn't you?
Not long enough. Greg.
Really?
Not long enough.
No, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is real estate now is in the millions and it never used to be in this state. You know, like go back 20. So a reasonable commission for a real estate agent was, I don't know, 1.5%, 2.5%. Yeah, but Jesus, 2.5% of $700 million is
$700
million? Yeah.
No, you mean $7 million.
$7 million is $700,000 or something. I mean, it's a lot of money.
No, what?
Yeah. 1%.
No, that's right. 700,000 is 10%. Mm. 70,000 is 1%.
It's a lot of money. Really? A lot of money for selling a property.
A property. How many is property? Well, how many?
What I'm saying
how many $7 million properties would you sell, Greg?
Well, I'm asking Simon that.
Well, we've got 100% strike rate at the minute.
You only sold one.
I haven't sold one. So we're flying at the minute. We can't be beaten. So no one can beat us just at the minute.
Right.
So you're getting really good advice if you come to me.
What is an acceptable commission rate? Danny, what do you pay your agents that sell your houses? Commission?
Too much.
Yeah, well, commission, percentage.
Should be 0.5%. They don't do much.
One and a half?
Half.
You pay 0.5%.
I wish I did, but you don't do much, you guys. You just wander around, unlock doors and say, in you go. That's it.
Mind the step.
I didn't come here and get abused by Danny.
By Danny. Well,
I didn't come here.
You wait till Alfie gets... What's the dog called?
Herbie.
You wait till Herbie has a crack at you, start buying your agates. Now, Sim, so you sold the estate, the manor, up in...
Yes.
Rokewood, where was it?
Sorry?
Where was it?
In between Kilmore and Lancefield.
Yeah. Did you sell it and pay yourself commission?
No, and that's where the real estate thing came from, in all seriousness. Marshall White did our sale up at home.
Yes.
And when we sold, and we sold pretty quickly, we looked at the data, and all these people from the Marshall White database in Melbourne had come up and inspected the farm and inquired about it. And they don't have a rural arm. So that sparked my interest, because I thought, well, I've got no cows anymore, I've got no horses anymore, what am I going to do? So we Rebecca, my wife, and I came down
Becky.
And sat down with Becky. She said that this morning. She said, he calls me Becky. Don't let him call me Becky.
Don't worry, he calls my wife Badger.
I bet Greg's not going to tell you why.
So we went and sat down with them and said, there's an appetite here from your database for rural property, lifestyle property. We'd like to start a rural arm if we can figure out how it will fit into what Marshall White is.
Did Jeff have to do a course?
Yeah, I've done a real... Yeah, I went back
a
to
real
study.
Estate course.
2 months it took me.
Did Becky
most
really...
Most people it takes 3 weeks.
Did Becky really say, don't let him call me Becky?
No, she said he always calls me Becky.
And she got the shit.
No. She said that's why he's special.
Oh.
He calls me Becky. He's
making me sound like I come here in a sunshine bus or something.
So, Simon, you're going to do this really well, obviously, because everything you do well. Are you enjoying it?
Thoroughly.
Where are you domiciled?
Thoroughly.
Where do you live?
Well,
then don't tell us the address, but which suburb?
We've got a little place here.
Here where?
In South Yarra.
There's people listening all over the world.
Yeah,
you said here.
Yeah.
Where?
Up the road. 10 minutes from here.
That's still not... people
South
listening
Yarra.
Thank you. South Yarra, if you're listening in the other side of the world, is salubrious area in Melbourne, Australia.
And also we domicile ourselves down at Main Ridge.
Oh, we've got two properties. Land tax killing you?
Near Don.
Do you? Do you speak to Don? Do you see him?
He's rung me a couple of times.
It'd be an interesting conversation.
Hello.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Good.
What did you ring for?
Oh, just say hello.
And what, do you like a coffee?
You never ring and say hello.
To whom?
Me.
Well, you're here.
I have to ring you.
Well, you're here, aren't you?
Yeah, but you text me.
Oh, I see. So you're differentiating between texting and ringing, are you? So Beck. Beck. So Sim, you sold up and you decided you'd do a course, and you now sell real estate, and it's going
rural real estate, rural lifestyle real estate.
I see.
Yeah, we're not in town. I'm not in the suburbs.
So do people say, I've got a farm to sell and I want you to oversee it and do it for us?
Would be fantastic.
And just as yet, not one you've sold, but you're getting onto it
shortly. We've got a few listings, which we're starting to materialise now, as in being going on to the internet and all those sorts of things. So we've only been going a couple of weeks.
Now, Danny.
So this is a TV show, Farmer Wants a House.
Farmer Wants a House.
Farmer Wants a House. Well,
be good. And a wife.
What's that show called?
Farmer Wants a Wife.
Oh, Farmer Wants a Wife.
Mm. Danny.
Actually, no, we could do Farmer Wants a Wife, and we could put a thing through wife and do house. Because farmer's already got a wife.
Yeah.
No.
Does that work?
No, farmer wants a wife, wife wants a house.
Yeah. So Danny will buy one of your houses.
Farmer and wife getting on.
Danny will buy one of your houses, Simon. Why do you buy all these houses?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Something to do. No, I give them away.
You give them. He's a philanthropist. He buys these houses on the block. And which charities have you given some of your houses to?
They go to things like Ronald McDonald House, My Room for Cancer for Kids.
And yep.
Look after them.
That's good, isn't it?
Fantastic, Danny.
And Danny, you're able to buy all these properties because you are an IT geek. Are you?
I don't like that term.
What are you?
Entrepreneur.
Well, what's that mean?
I don't know.
No, but would you an entrepreneur doing what? I'm serious.
Well, he's retired virtually.
Greg, this sounds like these are trick questions. You're an entrepreneur doing what?
I did IT.
Yes. IT meaning?
Information technology.
Right. And what did you give information on? What sort of technology? No, I'm serious. I'm just asking you.
Are you an IT person?
No, obviously, aren't I?
Noticed.
Yeah, that's right. I'm happy to say.
We develop programs.
What?
We develop programs.
I see.
Can I help him? Back in the early days when computers were in their infancy and people were starting to use them to run their businesses, a big company like CUB or Crown or Telstra, you can't just go and buy a computer program off a shelf. One has to be written to run their business, pay their staff. And that's what he decided to do, set up a company that writes programs. Mm. So that when Danny got a client, God, you had to employ 30-odd people and give them cars.
So, Danny, when I why couldn't you have said that? When I asked
Greg
you...
Greg say it better.
No. I can't argue with that, Danny. You're a man of few words, and not many of them make sense. So that's good. So you've retired now. You've just. I think I asked you on the phone. What did we say the net value of your income, your estate was? And you quite rightly didn't answer that. So what do you do now? Just walk around with Archie here,
Herbie. Yeah, walk around with
Herbie. Yeah.
Take him for a poo every day.
Oh.
And wee twice a day.
Just as long as he doesn't do it in the studio here.
Doesn't do it in front of the man.
Now, so we want to ask, Danny, I don't know, you're part of this film, are you? Just because you're in it.
Yeah.
You've just been seconded.
By Glenn.
By Glenn.
By Herbie.
Oh, Herbie. The dog's in it.
You've been seconded by Glenn.
Yes. You don't know what we're talking about, Simon, do you? Well, we can't say too much, but there's a movie that is written by this man. He's a playwright. We can't show you his face on a podcast. And we can't talk too much because there's people that are...
people that are what?
Trying to get the rights to this movie, they want to buy it. People like Netflix and
so why wouldn't we speak about it if we're there trying to get buyers?
Confidentiality clauses. This is what happens when you're in the movies, Sam.
What's the movie? Is it based as a spy movie or
no?
Is it
it's a comedy. It's an Australian comedy. That's why you're in it. And Danny, that's why he's in it. Tell and the dog's in it. Danny wants to know.
Don't worry about Archie. If you want a movie to do a contract in a movie for a dog. If you want a movie that's based on comedic actors to go to the top, no better person than young Sim here.
Yeah, we might get Sim involved. What do you reckon? We could do that.
And bring Beck along with you. I've even cut the Y off now. I'm just calling her Beck. That's fantastic, Sim, and so it is with you, Danny. So we might be in rehearsals in the very near future, might we?
Yeah. Yes, be fun.
So as you're a star here.
What?
Yeah, here you're a star
in this room.
And Greg, yeah. So are you. And
yeah,
Danny, so are you. And your feet.
Right. Don't be obsequious.
So when this movie just flies,
yes,
yeah.
Will you do like a Cannes Film Festival?
No, he doesn't like France.
You go to the film festival, you do the red carpet. And if you do the red carpet, just an extension to that question, what sort of cloth do you think you'd be wearing? Will you just do a short with a bare foot? What will you do?
No, I saw the man who was leader of Dire Straits. What's his name?
Mark Knopfler.
He had a camel suit on with a blue T-shirt under it, looked fantastic. Wow. That's what I'd go at. And when I'm asked on the red carpet about your political views, I'd say Trump is a star and you fucking cockheads that try and put him in jail because you're shit scared of him, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Because everyone else goes, oh, Joe Biden's fantastic. Joe Biden is dead. Did you know he died? He died not long ago, or like a couple of months ago. and they prop him up now. They put a stick up his ass and they walk him round and someone works his mouth with a foot pedal. They are completely knackered, that country, and they got the man who will rescue that country. They're trying to put him in jail for paying off some Sheila who he knocked up or pretended to have knocked up. Christ, we'd be in Stormy. Stormy, we'd be in Pentridge, all of us, now, if you were put in jail for that. Oh, and I couldn't speak for you. I'm only speaking for myself. In fact, I'm not even speaking for me. No, it is. They're the most corrupt and dishonest people. They're worse than Pol Pot over there. They are.
You don't think Donald Trump is corrupt and dishonest?
I tell you what, he's the definition of corrupt and dishonest. He's no more corrupt and dishonest than the people he's running up against. But unlike the people he's running up against, he has the best interests of that country at heart, as opposed to the other people who just try and line their pockets. He doesn't need the money. He's doing it for the right reason, whether you think he's corrupt or dishonest or not.
Do you agree with that?
Would you take Joe Biden out on your boat? Like, if
I would. Yeah.
Would you bring him back?
I've been to a number of functions, and I've been perennial underbidder on a day with Sam Newman.
Why don't you bring Beck out on the boat one day with us?
Well, we'd love to do that at sunset. But if Joe went out on the boat,
if he was invited, could you take Joe Biden? I'd love to take him out.
Yeah.
And I'd chop him up and I'd use him as burly.
He wouldn't bring him back.
No, I'd try and catch a shark with him.
Right.
Mind you, they like fresh meat. He's dead. He is dead. He is a marauding moron. He is mentally fucked. And that's the man running the free world. He is just a disgrace that they'd prop him up there.
Could I interest you into a country property?
Oh, dear.
Yes. What? Just a small little...
You probably need to stop going up and down in lifts to your place and
actually I'm getting vertigo.
Get some fresh
air. I'm getting vertigo going up and down the lift.
Get you a view and, you know, one of those...
Spend most of a life going up...
Are they called anorak back chairs? Becky's going to kill me for saying that because she always says I get it wrong. Get him a nice chair and a little...
Yeah.
Table next to it and glass.
I spend most of my life plummeting up and down.
A veranda out the front and a gum tree out the back and an old rocking chair for you.
Just a little bit of
fresh
air.
That's right. Or as my young cousin said when we were down at my mother and father's country house back in the day, said you've got a lovely country house there with vaginas all around it. And my mother said, "I think you mean verandas." He said, "No, oh yeah, perhaps I do." Perhaps she didn't. Vaginas all around. Well, mind you, we used to have a lot of people visit. There was a lot of vaginas around there in those days.
What are you going to do with the hair from now on?
I'm going to wear
a cap. You've had short, you've had long. Where are we at with
Get it back on.
Well, I think so.
What are you going to do? See, that's got 17 and 7 on it. Doug Hawkins. Doug Hawkins comes in here.
I've been listening to Dougie.
He's good. He's good.
He's good.
Because he's raw.
Yeah, raw. Just tells you the way it is. You like that?
He does. So, you interested in any of this? Like I'm about to mention this.
What are you about to mention? Yeah. How does he know what you're about to mention?
That's a very good point. So tell me this: the Olympic Games, Paris. They're coming. You're going over to the Olympics in Paris. You love Paris.
Well, I think I'll get ready. What for?
The Olympics, I said.
I'm looking at what event do you want me in?
The Olympics is the event. The actual Olympic Games is.
Is there an event within the Olympics you want
well,
me in?
Well, what about would you allow the Chinese swimmers to perform? They said they'll be allowed to compete, but maybe not for medals. Or did we make that up?
No, we've got to be careful here.
Why do we?
Well, I'm highly held within the community as a real estate agent. I'm not sure I should be commenting on these controversial matters. The French community.
How could the whole team get contaminated food?
Because they're cheats and they're liars.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. They said they had a bad batch of testing agents or something. Mm. Or something was contaminated that they all had. So they're just corrupt. Yeah. And so the people that, rub... The Essendon Football Club out, Dick Pound and his Awada, and the people who got Shane Warne for taking some sort of tablet that lost him weight. But the major the major graft and corruption goes on overseas. Mm. And the very fact that they've sprung the Chinese swimmers from the Tokyo Olympics, it's a joke.
Can a positive come out of that? And when I say a positive come out of it, I think it will put the spotlight back on Essendon. I think we will have some relief for those guys. I hope in particular Joe Watson.
What a joke!
Surely, pandering, some common sense, and
virtuous pandering, and being a bit of virtuous pandering by the people who run the competition. They are so woke and so broken, so corrupt. Honestly, they sell their soul at every opportunity because they don't want to be criticised for anything, for having an opinion about something. They jump into the lifeboats. They protect their jobs.
On the other side of that, do you think something positive can come out of what's happened in Japan, in China, for the Essendon players, in particular Joe Watson, without going to the...
It's a very long bow to draw, but I hope so, Simon. If someone in their wisdom think... And why did those two boys who took over the medal... Wasn't the two boys that took over...
Sam Mitchell and...
The Richmond lad.
Yeah, Trent Koch.
Yeah, why would they say, nope, we're not taking the medal. We're going to leave it in abeyance. That's Job's medal. Why wouldn't they do that?
That could be the next move, you know. That could be the next move that takes it to a new level, is one of those two, if not both of those guys, with now what they're reading and what they're hearing, may say, we think...
We'll give them back.
But why would that? Why would they have to wait? Why, when they said we're not giving Jove the medal, we're going to give it to you? Why didn't they say immediately, "Nope, leave us out. We didn't win it, and that's it."
Yeah, nothing against them.
They should have said that.
They're fantastic footballers.
Well, they are. They are, Sim. What about the?
Danny will give you an answer on this one. I've got nothing.
Yeah,
left.
Danny. No, give us something on this. If I was in your business and I was bidding against a house for you and I called you a faggot or a cocksucker or a fucking dumb bastard, would you, Danny, would you say, now, just a minute, you would say, hey, go and get Nick, mate. Can you take offence? What's going on? Soon in AFL football you won't be allowed to speak. Sim.
Yeah, it'd all be ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
If someone did that, I'd give it back to them.
Oh, you'd sue them.
Give it back to them.
Well, Sim, you think that's...
We're in a different era.
Yep, faggot.
You were known for it, because Don used to say you were known for it.
Don used to say I was a faggot.
No, you were known for your...
Sleeping.
Colourful description of people that you were playing against.
Yeah.
And occasionally you'd, as Don used to say, would slap them.
Yeah, bitch slap. Mm. Bitch slap Don. That's it. So that's gender related, isn't it? Or a bitch just gender related? Can you call a man a bitch? A bitch is a woman. Bitch is a dog, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So a female dog, yes.
That's where it comes from. So you slap a female dog, but it happens to be a human.
But I'm thinking a bitch slap is more... A man's strength is generally stronger than a woman's strength. So a soft slap versus...
Not unless you're a trans slap. Man.
We're going to a whole new pigeonhole now.
Ooh, unless you're abrosexual.
You think I'm joking. If you're a trans woman, you were a man, you bitch slap someone, you think, well, now hang on, I've been hit by a man. You say, no, don't misgender me, I'm a woman. That's where we're headed, Danny. It's a minefield, isn't it?
It's all fucked.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
He's only said four words.
It's all fucked. Now, what we normally do, Danny, because we normally try and only do three quarters of an hour, but we're up to over 50 minutes because it's going so well. But so what we're going to do...
You know the good bit? He actually hit the record button, Simon.
Jesus, please tell me, Sue, that's recording. So we're just going to keep going.
No, not a problem.
Want to ask you this. Nathan Buckley, he's getting a divorce, isn't he? And he's, I think he's...
He ring you for advice or not?
So sharp you are today. You're working absolutely in paramount condition. Sim, you cocksmack. Sim, Nathan Buckley, I think, is getting divorced. And I believe, please don't hold me to this, I think he's had to sell his medals and Brownlow because that's part of the divvy up. I think his ex-missus or his wife wants that. Do you think that's fair that she wants to get his trophies, him to sell them and split the proceeds?
Well,
I think that's what it's about, isn't it?
That's the rules, isn't it?
Is it? So
well,
that
I think it's the rules.
So just let me give you an analogy. So say you had a baggy green cap, didn't you?
Yes.
You did, didn't you?
You get worn a lot.
Have you still got it? You still
mate,
got it?
Mate, the fact you've got a baggy green cap, it says that's what it says, that right. You were an Australian cricketer representing Australia.
Didn't wear it to the tennis.
I'm trying to catch you some slack here. You're a great cricketer and you didn't play for Melbourne, but you had a baggy green cap and you could have signed it, Simon O'Donnell, and it could be worth plenty of money. Would you think if Beck decided I'm not living with a real estate agent anymore? I liked it when he was an enabler.
Becky's a real estate agent too.
Well, hang on.
Study.
I'm trying to give you an example here. If you've split up and Beck said, "I'm taking the cap as well. I want you to sell that because you know that's I didn't have a lot to do with you playing for Australia. I want half the proceeds of your cap." Would you think that's fair?
Well, I'd go back with a counteroffer.
Yeah. Wouldn't you chop the cap in half?
I would say, I've always liked your putter. Can I have your putter?
Do you think Nathan did that with his...
I'm not sure, but I think they're overruled by the letter of the law, which says everything has to be valued and it goes a certain way.
I
digress back to what I said 7 or 8 minutes ago.
Would you think Beck would be being unfair, saying, "I want that cap," or would she say, "Simon," or "Mr.," she'd probably call you Mr. O'Donnell, seeing as you were on bad terms because you were getting a divorce. "Mr. O'Donnell, please, I didn't have anything to do with you winning the cap, so you can keep that, but I might ask you for maybe the garden barrow or the lawnmower or something in place of that."
I gave her a tool set last year for Christmas. Think I can get that back?
She gave me a hammer.
Did she?
Gave me a rubber hammer.
She gave you a hammer?
A rubber hammer.
What for?
For tinkering around on the boat. You can't smash things because there's fiberglass. And she said, "I got it, you a present." And I opened it up with a fucking hammer. So you think it's all right that, mind you, Mrs. Buckley might say, "Well, while I didn't contribute directly to you winning a Brownlow medal and all your trophies, I was here with you, giving you support mm-hmm. and backing you up when you got depressed, and I might have cooked you the odd meal and done a bit of laundry for you every now and again, and I helped you in your journey to keep you calm." So she might have an absolute...
Yeah, I beg to differ on your opinion a little because I think it's the letter of the law. But what I will say to you, and not that I've been in this predicament before and I hope never to be in the predicament, is if you go to the Toyota Hilux ad on the television where there's a separation happening of a married couple and they share the Hilux.
They?
And it actually eventually brings them back together.
Oh, how sickening.
It's quite a fairy tale.
How sickly. Is that
wonderful. It gives people hope, I think.
So that Toyota have done that.
Toyota. So there's a marriage breakup and then the lawyers say, now it comes to the Toyota Hilux, we think it should be 50-50. So he goes fishing in it one day, camping in it one day, she goes fishing in it another. She comes out one day and says, he gives her the keys back in the handover, Fantastic. Official handover.
Is that on free to air?
Free to air, my word.
I've never seen that.
Toyota Hilux.
Neither.
Have you not? No one's seen it.
Yeah, no, I think I have.
Righto. Now, listen.
Yep.
You're serious with all those topics, and I've sort of haven't taken them serious, have I? I'm sorry.
Bassim.
He can't be.
I'll come back in another 3 years and I'll take them really seriously.
Could you come in every other? Could you come in once a fortnight? Once a month.
Sorry?
Could you come in once a month? We have regulars.
I can't keep looking at you.
We have. What's wrong
can't
with
keep
my hair?
At your hair. Sue, can you do something about his hair?
Now, we should stop.
Yeah, we've got because, to cut. Yeah.
You think we've lost the audience?
No, on the contrary, because.
So
do we have one?
No, hey, Danny. Was Glenn going to speak to us?
No.
No, right.
Thank Glenn God wants a meeting.
Because he's no time for him to speak to us. So, Sim, thank you. This has been fantastic. And we're going to do a little promo there. And thanks to you too, Danny, and Greg, and Ivan. Well done. This is You Cannot Be Serious, and we're winding it up.